Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guests are Ken Theroff, president of Central Bank and chairman of the Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, and Gary Plummer, CEO and president of the Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce. So we asked the gentleman to come in today to talk about the chamber. Specifically, we wanted to talk with Ken about his new term as chairman of the board. So at your installation, Ken, our story noted that you had mentioned you wanted to have a focus on advocating for business. And you mentioned three elements of that focus: stewardship, membership, and partnership. So why don't you break down for us what each of those elements mean to you?
Right. Well, thank you. Yes. And actually, there were four ships.
Okay.
And then there were three areas of focus. So, but okay. the four ships are stewardship, membership, partnership, and salesmanship.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'll start with stewardship. You know, we've been around for 130 years. 130, Gary, is that okay? But you know, you always, as an organization, you have to make sure you're on a solid foundation. And so last year, under Gay Suggett's leadership as chair, I think we made some really great strides in ensuring that we're going to be on a solid foundation for a long time. We shored up our building there on Adams Street, and it's an old building. It's a historic building in our downtown. But we needed to do some work to it to make sure that it's going to be a good home for the chamber for a long time. And so under Gary's leadership and Gay's leadership, we had a very successful capital campaign. And with the generous support of a lot of our members, we raised a large amount of money to help us improve that building and make it a great home, hopefully for some time to come. And then we also worked on our investment policy, and we put some of our reserves to work what I would consider better investments. So we're making better investment income off of our resources. And then we also are renting out some of the space in the upper level of the chamber to area businesses. And so that's generating income. And it's also aligning us with some of our members. So I think in the area of stewardship, we had a great year last year, and we want to continue that because, you know, obviously every business, every organization has to pay their bills, and we want to make sure we can. We have no debt. We do have some good reserves. We have pared our staff down a bit to try to be very lean. We're down to, I think, six staff members, maybe five and a half full-time equivalent. And every one of those employees of the chamber wears two, three, four hats.
Okay.
Awesome team, but we're very lean, and we're proud of that. And we want our business, we want our members to know that we're always conscious of being lean and investing the dues and the what they invest in us. We want to make sure they know that we value that. So from the stewardship standpoint, I think we're in a good place. From a membership standpoint, 900 members, we need to make sure that as an organization, we're providing value to our members, you know, for their dues. And we do a number of things, both in the, I'll call it networking and training, making sure that our members are informed of issues that are going to impact their business. We do a very good job at government relations. We have a committee that's headed up by Shannon Hawk, and that's what she does for a living. Last year it was Logan Gratz. Logan did a great job. So that committee stays on top of things that are going on in the Capitol here and maybe also at the federal level. And we're fortunate enough to be just down the street from the Missouri Chamber of Commerce. So we work closely with them. We want to make sure that as a chamber organization, we're aware of anything legislatively that might impact our membership, and that we do our best then to try to help navigate through that.
Right.
So, Gary, help me with other membership things that we do. I mean, it's a long list. I think we have one of the I think we have a couple of the, what I would call the social events mm-hmm. of the year for our community. Our barbecue that we have in June is very well attended, and it's a great event. I think everyone looks forward to that as a networking opportunity. We have a wonderful golf tournament. Everybody has a golf tournament, right, to raise right. money. Ours is to raise money, but more importantly, it's to allow our members to have an ability to visit with each other yeah. and become better acquainted. Those are, and then we have a gala in, is it September, Gary? Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased. We used to have that in January. It was horrible weather.
It was quite cold.
We'd have to wear tuxedos. Yeah. I did not look forward to it, Gary, I'll be honest with you. But now that it's in September, it's a little more casual, it's better weather. It really is a fantastic event. And I think we've seen better attendance because of the change that we made. So, Gary, anything else I left out?
I would just add that a lot of what we do is for our small business base because the Chamber provides a network for them to build their business, develop more relationships, recruit new talent to their organization and that sort of thing. So our small business network is a very important part of what we do is from a programming point of view. Ken already alluded to the training that we provide through that, as well as some of the ongoing events where people can just get acquainted and make some new business contacts.
Yeah. For example, this morning we have Friday coffees, and this morning was a very good event. We headed out at Special Olympics Missouri, and the United Soccer Group was out there informing the community about their project that's coming up, which is very exciting. Gary, I don't know how familiar you are with that, yeah. but it's gonna. It blew my mind, Gary. I don't know if Gary Plummer. I don't know if you caught this, but they said the economic impact of that facility is going to be $60 million a year.
Right.
So, and I was talking with some of the folks from the CVB, and I mean that dwarfs the existing sports impact that we have currently.
Yeah. Which,
and we do have some good events currently, but that just kind of tells you how big that's going to be. And then the other thing, we're still talking about membership. Mm-hmm. And again, this was Gay and Gary last year, and we're going to build on this. We did offer some chamber membership scholarships to minority-owned businesses, mm-hmm. and that's been a great success for us. And we want to make sure that we encourage that. And we think that we've got some really exciting scholarships that are going, and we think their businesses are going to succeed, and they're going to be great chamber members long-term.
Okay.
So the other thing that Gay did last year, we're going to continue this year, is we formed a Women Connect group. So it's a women's networking group under the Chamber umbrella, and they're very active, and that group is growing. We've already got 100 members in that group, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then we have a women's symposium, and I think that one is in March, right?
Correct.
And very well attended last year at the first one, and have a really good speaker this year coming, and the name's escaping me, and Gary, sorry to put you on the spot, but we're already sold out.
Sure.
So it's going to be a fun event, and I think our only contribution, I think Plummer and I, all I think we're bartending afterwards. I think that's going to be our major contribution.
All right.
That's a great event, and we picked that up from Columbia. Columbia had done a good job prior to us at having a Women Connect. I'm not sure if that's what they call it, but it's been a successful program for them. Mm-hmm. And we mirrored ours after theirs, and it's so far so good. Okay. So that, you know, as far as membership, we can circle back to that if you want to, but that's the second one. So we've done stewardship, membership. The third one is partnership. And as a chamber, we have a number of partners that we work with. And I've always thought of the Chamber of Commerce as a facilitator. You know, part of our job is to connect groups together who can make things happen in the community. And I think that's really important right now because I'll step back just a second and talk about, it's been probably 3 years ago, we bifurcated the efforts of the chamber. In the past, the chamber was a business organization, but also had an economic development piece of it.
Right.
And so we decided to split that apart, and we hired Luke Holtschneider, who had a lot of experience with economic development at the state level. We hired him to run that for us. And so now that's more Luke's focus with Jefferson City Regional Economic Partnership.
Right.
But then Gary and the chamber crew are still very involved with a lot of this, the exact same projects and efforts. And I think that's probably one of our key partners along with the Jefferson City Convention and Visitors Bureau. Mm-hmm. And so Gary and our team, I think I'm very proud of them. They've done a good job at cultivating those partnerships so that we can all work together. We're too small of a town for it to be siloed. So we all have to work together on these things.
Sure.
And I think we are doing a good job with that. Our other partners are state government, county government, city government. I think we have good partnerships there. The school districts, the private school system, Lincoln, thank you.
State Technical College, State Fair Community College, you're all great partners with us when it comes to workforce development.
Sure, right. Sure.
And then the last ship is salesmanship. And as a chamber, I think it's our job to promote the positive aspects of our community. And it's not just Gary and staff or me as chairman, but what I've really been emphasizing at any meetings where I've been able to speak is that it's the job of all 900 chamber members to promote our community. And it's actually even the job of everybody in our community. And I think sometimes it's popular for, especially us, I think, to be a little hypercritical of ourselves. Yeah. I think sometimes we're our own worst critic. And there are so many great things that are happening, and we just need to, and then that's where I come up with the word salesmanship. We just need to sell those, and we need to talk about them. And so as we're out and about in our travels with our friends, our families, coffee groups, what have you, if we hear somebody, you know, talking about the community in a negative fashion, we need to politely remind them of all the good things that are happening as well.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So along those same lines, you had mentioned, your focus, three focus areas
right.
that you were interested in, which was housing, childcare, and tourism. So
right.
let's kind of talk about how those fit into that vision.
Right. And good, thank you. Housing and childcare are probably on the radar of every community in the United States.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there's a housing shortage in just about every community anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably a childcare crisis in the country. I think I saw where 50% of our children under the age of three live in what is called a child care desert. And that's where they live in a community where there is a waiting list.
Yeah.
So if a mom or a dad or, you know, a caretaker wants to go get a job, they don't have an option for where to take that child. And so it's an employment issue as well. It's a workforce issue. And then obviously on the housing front, here locally, because of the tornado, you know, we lost 150 units. Building costs have escalated with inflation, and they were escalating before we kind of even had a systemic inflation problem. And so as a result, if you're an employer and you have employees, it's likely that they have a hard time finding a place to work. Mm-hmm. And they probably have a hard time finding, if they have young children, finding childcare for their children. So we want to focus on that. We don't have a silver bullet, but what I've asked my team at the bank to do, especially the loan group, is guys, put your heads together and eventually we'll bring in some other banks. Let's figure out, are there some programs we're not accessing to make home loans or construction loans for builders or daycare centers? And let's make sure that we are accessing anything that's available at a state or federal level that would help. But also then, can we sharpen our pencil and perhaps for a while offer some even better terms on loans? So our groups are working on that. There are some really good I guess we'd call it green shoots happening in the housing area here in Jefferson City. We had a JC rep meeting. Gary and I are on that board yesterday, and we went through those. I tried to count them, but I think there are about, you know, probably around 1,000 units that are either at the plant, somewhere between the planning stage and the groundbreaking stage. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to solve the problem right away, but at least we do have some things in the works that may help, say, 12, 18 months from now. Okay. And then tourism. Probably not every community focuses on tourism, but I feel like we should. And I think that the reason we should focus on tourism, probably two things. One is our location in Jefferson City. We're in the middle of the state, and we're in the middle of the country. So I think we're at a crossroads for a lot of different activities and events. And this morning when we talked about the soccer complex, for example, mm-hmm. we're ideally located because the folks who live in Kansas City, they don't want to drive all the way across the state to play the teams from St. Louis,
right,
and vice versa, or to Springfield. And so our location is a huge asset for us. And I think that this new soccer complex is going to help plug into that. We've already seen it with the Link, which is the recreation center down on Lincoln University campus. It's a joint project between Lincoln University and the city. And we have a lot of activity down there, basketball, futsal, volleyball. And so we've seen a big economic impact from that. So we know that sports tourism is a factor, and we want to plug into that. And then the other is just being the state capital.
Yeah.
You know, we're the county seat, we're the state capital. There are lots of people, as you know, Gary, that come here every day to access the government, local government, state government. And so I feel like we have not taken advantage of that. And so we're going to talk a lot about the conference center this morning, if you let us. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's the way to access that at an even higher level that could be a game changer for this area.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
The conference center. What is your vision as to what it might bring to the area?
Well, let's see if I can. So we shared some statistics yesterday at our meeting. And again, these are preliminary because I want to make sure everyone understands this project is still at a very preliminary stage. It takes a long time to put together something like this, $130 million project.
Right.
Okay. So when I give you these numbers, they're not gospel. They're not written in stone. But, I mean, we're looking at perhaps 372 jobs per year that would be created. $214 million in new employment income, $311 million of new wealth that could be created, and $584 million just in gross sales of surrounding businesses. So, right now the project looks like maybe about 200-ish hotel rooms, about 700 parking spaces, and now, Gary, I know you know this, but your listeners may not.
Right.
We already have a parking garage there.
Yes.
We're at the proposed site, which is at the corner of Capitol and Madison. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, what makes this, the stars seem to be aligning on this, because that parking garage is in terrible shape. It needs to be replaced anyway.
Right.
The city already has funds that they've been putting away for that parking garage. We already have funds that we've been collecting from our lodging tax that are to be used for tourism. So you've already got a pool of I call it seed money to help start this. And so we, in a way, we're kind of solving two or three problems with one project, hopefully. But then 29,000 square feet in conference space with another 10,000 square feet of flex space. And so what that's going to do for us is just allow us to plug into the traffic, the visitor traffic that is generated by having the state capitol here. And anecdotally, we know of a lot of associations. I think we have 115 mm-hmm. state associations and federal associations that are located in Jefferson City that have meetings, and they need conference space. And so if we can provide that, I think it is going to be a tremendous stimulus to the local economy, because they won't, if we have these conferences and conventions, they'll not only be using the 200 or 205 rooms that are going to be there at the corner of Capitol and Madison, that overflow will affect the hotel occupancy across our community. And then you throw in the soccer project with it. I suspect we're going to see some hotels being built around here
yeah.
in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So, The capital stack on the conference center is a little bit challenging. It's a $130 million project. Now, again, that's a pretty conservative estimate. You know, right now we don't know exactly all of the different amenities that are going to go into it. So the groups, the consultants that the city has been working with, they've tried to shoot high on that. So we think $130 million might be high on the cost. And we think maybe $90 million that we can access through the capital stack might be a little bit low. So we're hoping to get that 90 up a little bit, get the 130 down, and make this thing happen, you know, figure out how to make it work in the middle. And still a lot of work to be done. But this is, in my opinion, this is probably the farthest along that we've ever been on a conference center project. And it seems like it's the perfect location. It seems like it's the right timing where we need a parking garage anyway. We have some lodging tax money. We're used to the lodging tax. The lodging tax is paid by outside folks who come and stay in our community. So it's not directly paid by our taxpayers, our Cole County taxpayers. So it just seems like a lot of things are lining up the right way for that thing to happen.
You know, I heard Lou Holtzschneider say it very well one time a few months ago. He said, imagine downtown Jefferson City 20 years from now if we build this project. Now imagine Jefferson City 20 years from now if we don't. And that really kind of summed it up to me, how what a huge catalyst for our central city and the whole community that a project like this would really be. It's transformational.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce, we're not the tip of the spear on this. You know, the city and JC Rep are.
Right.
But we feel like our 900 members have a lot of influence. And so we want to leverage that influence to try to make this happen. Now, I want everybody to understand, if we look at this thing, we get down the road and the numbers don't make sense, we'll be the first ones to tap the brakes.
Yeah.
But so far, it looks like this is a project that could get that could come together. And as Gary says, if we can figure out a way to make it come together, it will be transformational.
Yeah. Well, I think you make a great point. I mean, you're right. Chamber members would certainly have a voice and be affected by this. So you bring in those new visitors. Obviously, they're going to be eating in chamber members' restaurants, shopping at their shops. But the real challenge is going to be the numbers, right?
Right.
That there are a lot of numbers out there that that they're going to take some vetting to really get a better sense of what is achievable.
Right.
The concept may be great, but the execution may have an issue.
Right.
And so I think that's a great point that you bring, is that let's embrace what we have so far, but let's look at it.
So. Well said. Yeah.
So let's say a year from now, your term's for a year, right? That they only locked you in for a year, right?
As far as I know,
all right.
Yeah.
There's not a clause there to extend it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the year, what are you hoping when you look back at this year of service in this role, what are you hoping you will see?
I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, 12 months is a very short time in the sort of the life cycle of a community.
Right.
And so, you know, we may accomplish a lot this year and it may not be very visible. So I think what we want to look back on is say, go back to the stewardship. We want to make sure we leave it in better shape financially, that it's at least as solid and prosperous as it was before. I want to grow membership. I want to have more members next year than we have right now, which in a community that's not growing at a real rapid pace, that sounds easy, but it's not necessarily an easy thing to do. So I want financial stability, growth in membership, and then I want to be able to look back at some of the actions that we took on housing and childcare and tourism and say that we did this, this, and this that at least contributed to and maybe set the table for continued growth in those areas.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a foolish to say that, you know, we're going to solve the housing problem in 10 months.
Right.
You know, but we don't want to ignore it. We don't want to kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping, and I'll go back to what I've asked my team at the bank to do. Let's figure out some financing programs that we can make available. Now, who knows what conditions might be. Maybe no one takes advantage of them, but at least we've come up with some options.
Yeah.
And set the table.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think the challenges are going to be to that vision then?
Well, as a banker, I always look at the economy.
Yeah.
You know, if the economy somehow hit a snag and we had businesses and individuals in our community who maybe weren't as optimistic about what the next 12 to 24 months look like, that always makes it a tougher sell, you know, to get somebody convinced that a project like the conference center or like the soccer complex or like some of the other things that we have going, it always makes it a little bit more difficult to convince folks that that's the road to take. So that would be one thing. Obviously, if the capital stack, if the calculations on the conference center look like they weren't going to materialize, then we would be back at square one on that project. And the same with the soccer complex. I think the soccer complex is farther along. You know, they're getting ready to break ground. So I think that one's going to happen.
Yeah.
But obviously the state budget process, you know, because some of what we're looking at for the conference center is going to rely on some support from the state.
Yeah.
So if they have a tough time over there with their budget, that would probably hurt us a little bit too. So, and then we're always impacted by what happens in state government. Jefferson City is. Mm-hmm. So, the ARPA money and the, you know, some of the federal funds that were made available because of the, because of COVID,
yeah.
You know, that those days are quickly coming to an end. And so now we're kind of back to business as usual as it relates to the state budget.
Yeah. So when you look at the future for Jeff City, are you bullish or are you bearish?
I'm very bullish.
Okay.
And you know, one of the things that I haven't talked about yet, but because it was 20, has it been this long? 2017, we built Capital City High School.
Yeah.
You know, and I was on the school board when we decided to put that on the ballot, and we were very apprehensive about whether we could get that passed. We worked really hard at it. Larry Linthicum worked hard at it, And now we've got another, we've got a good superintendent in Brian McGraw. I think that so far, I'll call it a project, has been a success. And so if you look at Columbia and Jefferson City were about the same population in the 1950s and maybe even into the 60s. Mm-hmm. And if you look at when Columbia had their tremendous growth, it was after they built Rockbridge High School. So I'm hopeful that perhaps as Cap City continues to get its feet under it and it becomes it becomes more of a factor. I think anecdotally, we had a lot of folks that we knew in the bank and in businesses that we dealt with that did not want to move to Jefferson City because our school was too big. And so I'm hopeful that now that people see that, you know, we have two high schools, neither one of them are the biggest one in the state, mm-hmm. that from an education standpoint, this is where they want to raise their family. And then on top of that, we have low crime, we have low unemployment, we have lots of job opportunities. In my opinion, we've got one of the best parks systems around anywhere. Our parks department is kind of an unsung hero. They do a great job. Lincoln University is growing. Lots of really, a couple of really neat projects over there with the, is it called Health?
Health Science.
Health Science.
I think also Emergency Services.
Emergency Services. Yeah. So I think that's a $40 million building
yeah.
that they're putting up over there. Their enrollment's up. They're remodeling Dawson Hall, which is a huge project. So a lot of good things happening at Lincoln. State Tech is a juggernaut. So, you know, if you just kind of look around our community, there's a lot to be bullish about.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.